Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. See Sparky Pfeiffer in for Andy Herdman today as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Just saw some news come across on social media. Not Packers news, but Badgers news. Braden Locke has signed with Arizona, according to On3 Sports. So Braden Locke, obviously, had went into the portal, him and his brother both. He now headed to Arizona to play for the Wildcats. So good luck to them, and let's see how that all plays out for him. I swear to you, if Braden Locke goes to Arizona and puts up some great year and doesn't suck, I'm going to potentially lose my mind, because then I'm going to blame Phil Longo for all of this.
I don't have that faith.
Well, I don't.
Is he supposed to be better than Graham Mertz was at Florida? No way.
Well, but I didn't think Graham Mertz was going to be as good as Graham Mertz
was
at Florida either.
Too.
I don't think anybody saw that coming. Nobody thought he was going to be any good at Florida. In fact, Badger fans laughed at Florida fans when they got Graham Mertz. Florida fans themselves were mad that they got Graham Mertz. So, no, we'll find out. We'll see how Braden Locke looks with the Badgers. All right, joining us now, he is Paul Brettel.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beat writer for Packers, beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse. He joins us now here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Brettel. Paul, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Sparky. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you the question that I was asking everybody there in the first segment, and it goes back to First Things First on FS1 with Nick Wright. They were talking about Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver for the Vikings. This has some LSU championship vibes when him and Burrow went and won a national championship, which obviously a lot of people laughed at. But having said all of that, they got into the debate of, you know, just how good is this Vikings team and Sam Darnold. And Nick Wright started talking about he didn't think there was that big of a gap between Sam Darnold and Hurts and Goff and those guys. He didn't mention Jordan Love. But the question has been, do you believe in the Vikings being a team that can go to the Super Bowl? And my first reason of why I don't believe Paul Breidel is I don't trust Sam Darnold still. You've seen it throughout the year where he looks like old Sam Darnold in moments.
Yeah, and you know, credit to the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell for the implementing the offense around and building it around Sam Darnold. Utilizing his strengths, but in addition to Darnold, I mean, this is a team that has a lot of weapons everywhere else. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, they have one of the top defenses in football. This is a very, very complete football team. And while on his own, I think there's still, you know, question marks. Could Sam Darnold go out and win you multiple games in the playoffs if it played out that way? But a team that's around him right now is, again, one that's very well put together from top to bottom to where he doesn't necessarily have to go out and be that guy on a weekly basis. So they put together a strong roster, and obviously their record goes to show just how effectively, how efficiently they're operating right now.
Paul, when we talk about this Packers team coming into this game against the Minnesota Vikings, 3:25 kick on Sunday. After the game goes finally, they'll make the switch back here to the Fan for the Green Bay Football postgame show driven by Young Express. Myself and Tommy Wirtz will be here talking about the game after the game. And you look at this game from a Packers perspective, knowing what happened the first time you played, you got to feel pretty confident that you're going to win this game, don't you? I mean, Jordan Love throws multiple interceptions in that game. Narvison misses multiple field goals. You still score a bunch of points. You weren't a run-first team at this point. Just overall, this is a much, much better Packer football team than it was the last time they played.
Yeah, they've definitely come a long way on both sides of the ball. And I think one very, very noticeable difference is that first Vikings game, that was Jordan Love's first game back from the knee injury.
Right.
Throughout the first half of the season, because of the knee injury, the groin injury, his mobility was hampered. It impacted how often the Packers went under center. It impacted their ability to use play action. And, of course, it impacted Love's ability to navigate the pocket. And each week, that's an important element, right? But against the Vikings team who leads the NFL in blitz rate, that becomes increasingly important to avoid that pressure. During the first half of the season, Jordan Love was completing just 59% of his passes when being blitzed. He was averaging just over 6 yards per attempt. Now, since the bye week, when he's been healthy, he's completing 72% of his passes against the blitz. He's averaging almost 9.9 yards per pass attempt. He has no interceptions compared to 5 during the first half of the season against the blitz. So I think Love's health, his ability to, and again, his ability to move around, that doesn't mean getting out of the pocket and running for 20 yards, but just his ability to move around the pocket, to open up passing lanes, to avoid rushers, to buy that extra half second of time, I think is going to be a crucial, crucial difference in this game. And over the last week, 2 weeks, Matt LaFleur has really, really praised Jordan Love's ability over the last month plus to avoid the negative play, to, if the play breaks down, to extend it, to not take the sack, to be able to find the check down, his decision making. So this Packers team, as you said, overall looks very different than what they did in week 4 of the NFL season. But I think one of the biggest factors, one of the biggest differences that is going to play a big, big role in Sunday's game is Love's health and his ability to avoid pressure and navigating the pocket.
We talk about this offensive line for the Green Bay Packers. You know, you go back to the Holmgren days, you go back to the McCarthy days, maybe not as much the Mike Sherman days, but McCarthy for sure, earlier on here with LaFleur, and it's always been those more finesse-type offensive linemen because of what they wanted to do. You had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Pass blocking was still the most important thing at this point. Now you start talking about this Packers offensive line, and you're going to run the ball 25 or 30 times a game between the running backs getting their split of carries or whatever. Do you think the philosophy of how they draft and who they draft for this offensive line possibly changes going forward if this is going to be the identity of this football team?
I think it has to be a part of the equation, and I think credit to Josh Jacobs. Obviously, we see the production he has on the football field, but there's a level of of physicalness, as you mentioned, a mentality that he's brought to this Packers offense, to that offensive line. I know Josh Meyer, Sean Ryan have each talked about this season at different points that when things are not going right with the offense, they want them to be able to turn to the run game. They want them to be able to lean on the offensive line that they can go out there and move bodies, create running lanes. And it's a different, like you said, play style from this offense. Even the success that the Packers had in the past in the run game, it felt like a lot of it was, you know, it's an oxymoron to say it, but a bit finesse, right? It's technique-based, it's speed, it's getting into the right spot, whereas now we're seeing a group that's moving people. And I think an added level of impressiveness to what they're doing is that teams know they want to run the ball, and Green Bay, for the most part, is still able to do that. And I think coming out of last week's game against the Saints, there was one really, really, I think, under the radar, but important element that was established in that game, and it's the versatility of the running game. Beyond Josh Jacobs, we saw the running backs, Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson get the ball. We saw three different receivers touch the ball. Obviously, Tucker Kraft, again, on a third and one play, getting the ball under center. So it's not just the variety of players that they can hand the ball off to, but it's their ability to run between the tackles and outside of the tackles that I think was really established last week. So now if you're an opponent and you know the Packers want to run the ball, it's not just game planning for, all right, they're going to run between the tackles with a gap blocking scheme. They might throw an outside zone blocking scheme at you. They might give the receivers the ball on a play. So there's just an added layer of unpredictability that's been built into this Packers offense because of the variety of ways that they're able to move the ball on the ground and do so effectively in all phases, really. And I think looking ahead to this Vikings game, we had seen in recent weeks prior to the Saints game that the Packers in the second half in particular were getting bottled up in the run game. And a lot of times those runs came between the tackles. But what the Packers put on tape last week was, you don't just have to prepare for the between the tackle runs. You got to be prepared for us going sideline to sideline. So again, I think as the Vikings, from their perspective, as they prepare for the Packers, there's again just another wrinkle, another element to the run game that they now have to be prepared for. And when you add that up with the passing game, Jordan Love, there's just a lot that opposing defenses have to prepare for right now when it comes to this Packers offense.
Not to mention, you have Tucker Kraft taking snaps and running the football. You have that as well. Paul Breidel, a Packers beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse, joining us here on the Pack-A-Day radio show. C. Sparky Pfeiffer filling in for Andy Herman here on The Fan. Let's talk a little bit about Christian Watson, his health, his availability, and really what he means to this Packers team, because you talked about wide receivers getting handoffs. He's now being incorporated into that aspect as well.
Yeah, and as far as his status for Sunday, it sounds very much up in the air. He hasn't practiced the first 2 days, and based on what Matt LaFleur said on Thursday, it doesn't sound like if Watson doesn't practice on Friday that he's going to be ruled out. I think it's all going to come down to just how is he feeling on Sunday, and if he hasn't practiced at all this week, that's not going to necessarily hinder the Packers from putting him out there on the field. It's just, again, how is he feeling? Can he go out there and play at the level that they need him to? But if he can't go, that is a big, big loss for this offense. Obviously, there's a downfield ability that he brings, and he's been on a tremendous stretch since the bye week. I think he's averaging almost 30 yards per catch or over 30 yards per catch on 11 or 12 receptions. I mean, he's bringing that big play element to this defense. And even when the ball doesn't go his direction, he is impacting this game because of that speed, because of his size. Defenders gravitate towards him, and defenses defend this Packers team differently when he's not on the field. There isn't that, you know, when he's out there, you have to be wary of that downfield pass that spreads the defense out, that can create more opportunities in the run game, that can create more opportunities in the passing game underneath, over the middle. But when he's not out there, that element, while yes, Romeo Dobbs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks can still win downfield, it's different, right? It's not to the same level of Christian Watson. It's not with the same play style as Christian Watson. So against this Vikings defense that's already very aggressive, that's already going to load the box, that's already going to send a ton of different pressures at you, I do wonder if that only ramps up their willingness to buddy things up over the middle and on those underneath routes if Christian Watson can't go. So again, we know the big playability he brings, but just his presence alone on the field, even when the ball isn't going his direction, has a big, big impact on how defenses defend Green Bay.
Paul, I have a story idea for you, and it really should be a radio show idea too, but I feel like you can probably do it better justice than maybe I can. You need to go write a story on the whole Christian Watson hamstring UW-Madison deal and how they essentially fixed it. Because to me, we start talking about the surprises of this season and the feel-good stories of this season. Watson's hamstring being intact and being able to get through this whole season, it appears those fine folks at UW-Madison figured it out and it fixed them. When you think back to Packers history, guys like Clay Matthews, who couldn't stay on the field, constantly had hamstring issues, they couldn't figure it out, and the Packers brass decided that they were going to help Christian Watson try and figure this out, and it actually worked.
It has. And same thing with Eric Stokes. He went down there with Christian Watson as well. And I think another part of the equation is the Packers made the switch this offseason to a new strength and conditioning coach, Aaron Hill. And going back to the first OTA training camp practices that we were able to attend, it was noticeable right off the bat. The amount of warm-up time that the Packers have now compared to previous years, I think it's doubled. I think it's gone from somewhere in the 10-ish minute range, at least from what we see, to nearly 20 minutes. And you also see the players going through different workouts depending upon their position group. So the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, the bigger guys, they're going through their own set of workouts on one set of the side of the field, while the wide receivers, the cornerbacks, are going through a different set of workouts on the other side of the field. There's a lot more dynamic movements that are a part of that warm-up process. And again, injuries, a lot of it sometimes is just luck, right? I don't think we can say it's just the change to the new strength and conditioning coach and the warm-ups that's helped this Packers team be relatively healthy, but it's absolutely a part of the equation, especially like I just laid out. You can definitely see a difference in how they're going about the start of practice this year versus last year, and right now we're seeing the benefits of it with the availability that they've had for most of these guys.
Talking with Paul Bradle, Packers beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse, as he joins us here on the Packaday Radio Show. Sparky in for Andy Herman here on The Fan today. I want to talk about the one moment this year that I can't move on from, that I am holding a grudge and not letting go of, and it angers me every time it comes up, and I'm still angry. How in the world do you allow Jair Alexander to go back out and essentially try to play in a game with a torn PCL, and then he can't even finish the half, and he hasn't been in a game since? We're over, what, five games in or whatever it is. He should have been put on the IR. This is 1,000% on the staff that you just talked about, and specifically on Matt LaFleur for trying to rush him back way, way too soon. And my question is, did he do more damage to something else that they're not talking about, and that's why he can't get himself back on the field, because they put him out there before he was ready and possibly hurt something else?
That's a great question. And for me, who's at the facility most days around the team, I think we have the same amount of understanding and knowledge of what's going on with Jair Alexander right now, because I know very little. And I know Matt LaFleur keeps referencing he's not hitting the speeds that he wants him to see in practice. And I think the process that we're seeing them go through with Jair right now is a ripple effect of what you just mentioned and him not being ready to come back in that Chicago Bears game, which, one, obviously set him back, but two, there's a trickle-down effect in that game of him exiting as early as he did that left the Packers shorthanded.
Right.
It's not only that you're shorthanded in the secondary, but now players who were going to be primarily special teams players in that game now have to play a bigger role defensively. So now you're relying on different players on special teams to fill in that role. So there's a massive trickle-down effect from not just Jair, but any player who exits the game early, and how the team has to navigate that the rest of the way. And so I think that, you know, the additional cautious approach that we're seeing right now is because of what they experienced in the Chicago Bears game. And right now at this point, again, we got two games left in the regular season. Doesn't seem like Jair is going to be out there on Monday. I think for Packer fans out there, I think the hope right now is that for the playoffs, he can be here. But again, everything just seems very, very much up in the air at this time.
Let's talk about Javon Bullard. And what do you think his role is going to be, Paul Bradle, when he comes back? It looks like hopefully this weekend as he practiced. As far as, does he come back, cover the slot again? Do they move Keyshawn Nixon back outside? Do they move Keyshawn Nixon to safety if Evan Williams can't go? Do they go back with Zane Anderson at safety? What do you think, or does Bullard go to safety himself? That's what he came out of college doing. How do you think this plays out if he's healthy?
I think they're going to put Bullard back in the slot. I think, and Jeff Hafley's talked about this before, moving a cornerback from safety to the nickel or vice versa, that's a big jump for any player. But for a rookie, that's putting a lot on their plate. So I think the Packers are going to have Bullard continue to focus on playing the nickel, focus on that one responsibility, because for the most part, he's held his own there.
He did.
Keyshawn Nixon there. They're excited about how he's continuing to progress as a boundary cornerback. Jeff Hafley's raved about his ability as a run defender, his willingness to take on blocks, tackles, and how he's improved over the season in his man coverage abilities. And Zane Anderson, in that building, they rave about him. Rich Bisaccia said on Thursday that whether it's special teams, whether it's defense, Zane Anderson prepares every single day like he's going to be a starter. There's a level of trust that the Packers have in him to line up next to Xavier McKinney to handle those responsibilities. So I think the big thing that the Packers are really searching for in the secondary right now as they navigate these injuries is continuity. Continuity is so important, one, in how all the players operate and work together, but just the ability to go out and practice the same position every day, to go into meeting rooms focused on the same position every day. So when Javon Bullard comes back, I think that's what the Packers are going to go for. Zane Anderson, he preps as a safety, put him at safety. Bullard's played the slot this year. Nixon's mostly played the boundary. I think that's what they're going to go for. And then with those pieces in place, you now have the ability with Valentine and Stokes where you don't have to rely on both of them, right? You can continue to have Carrington Valentine take those starting snaps as they did against the Saints, and then you can have Eric Stokes be an option off the bench. So I think overall that provides continuity and the best depth for this Packers secondary.
Paul, what about Evan Williams? You know, he was a impact player earlier in the year. Then he gets beat up. He gets hurt. Hasn't really been the same player since. Has he truly been healthy? Because it doesn't look like he's going to play this week either.
Yeah, that's a good question. And he obviously exited the Lions game early with a concussion. He's dealing with the quad injury now that Matt LaFleur said, not long-term, but you know, it sounds like he could be the playoffs is kind of what they're aiming for in terms of getting him back. But I think for any young player, any rookie, especially if thrown into a starting role, there's just going to be the natural ups and downs that come over the course of the season, right? The offense is going to throw new looks at you that you haven't seen before. You're going to have to learn how to adjust to those looks on the fly, do so more quickly as each week goes on. But I also think with this Packers secondary as a whole, with Xavier McKinney on the back end, opposing offense, especially in recent weeks, there just hasn't been necessarily the willingness to push the ball downfield against this Packers defense either. So I think that's part of the equation as well in terms of the opportunities that are there. And also the pass rush. The pass rush really since that 49ers game is starting to pick up some steam. And of course, when you're getting after the quarterback, you're disrupting the timing and rhythm of the play. That's going to benefit the secondary as well. Less time in coverage, fewer opportunities for those longer developing plays to really test Evan Williams and the other safety. So I think all of that's a part of the equation. But I think the Packers are very, very pleased with what Evan Williams has given them this season, especially when paired next to a player of Xavier McKinney's caliber.
He is Paul Bredel. Follow him at ESPN Lacrosse. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Paul, as always, enjoy having you on. I want to know your prediction and how do the Packers win this game?
I think this is going to be, if you're just a football fan, you're just tuning in, I think you're going to get a really, really good game. I just gut feeling, I think the Packers are going to find a way to win this. And I think a lot of it goes back to what we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation. And it's Jordan Love's play. It's his ability to avoid the pressure, to avoid negative plays, to navigate the pocket, as he's shown over the last 5-6 weeks when truly being fully healthy or close to it. And I think that's going to be the big difference in this game. I think running the ball is going to be tough. The Vikings have a really, really good run defense, so I think there's going to be a little bit more of the burden on the offensive side of the ball is going to fall on the passing game shoulders. And I think Jordan Love, again, the level he's playing at right now, I think the Packers are going to find a way to come away with a win on Sunday.
That's what I like to hear. Paul, thank you so much, buddy. Enjoy the weekend, and hopefully another Packers victory.
Thanks, Sparky. Appreciate it.
You betcha. There he is, Paul Bredel, Packers beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse, joining us here on the Pack-A-Day radio show. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, filling in for the under the weather Andy Herman as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Coming up on the other side, we're going to continue to talk more about the NFC North and last night's game between the Bears and the Seahawks. Oh, my goodness. What is going on with that Chicago Bears team here? As you know, you look ahead to what the future of that organization is and so forth. It's not that great. Plus, NFL and NBA ratings are out for Christmas Day. Was there a mistake made? Possibly by the NFL. We'll tell you about all those fan numbers, fan viewership numbers as well. And then we have the Potawatomi Sportsbook Final Thought of the Day. Now, that is Andy Herman's segment. That is not my segment. So I had to come up with a Final Thought of the Day as well. It's probably not going to be nearly as insightful and as intuitive as Andy Herman's, but I got something for you. So we'll do all of that coming up straight ahead. Back a Day Radio Show here on The Fan.